Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. We got 25 more minutes of the program, Today's Issues, here on American Family Radio on this Wednesday, July the 26th, 2023. I'm Tim Wildman with Ed Vitagliano, and a couple of other gentlemen are joining us now. Steve Paisley Jordahl.
Good morning.
Was that the first time you heard that?
Yes.
That's Abraham Hamilton III having a good chuckle there.
Tim gave that nickname to Steve probably a year ago,
really?
It is stuck.
Paisley.
Because normally he wears a Paisley.
Yeah, but every other day he's a Paisley man.
Now he's
he'll throw you some polka dots every once in a while.
I'm a Wonder Bread man.
He's Wonder Bread.
Yeah, if you're watching on the internet, our show, you know that Steve is donning a Wonder Bread shirt. I didn't even think about that. That's pretty. You come up with that, Ed? The Wonder Bread?
I think Steve did it himself.
Steve
was the one, I think, who came up with that.
Okay. All right.
It's good. I might steal it and claim it, but...
Good morning, Abe.
Good morning.
Good morning, Steve.
Good morning.
I'm going to have to get that Wonder Bread shirt out of my head. I'm going to laugh every time I look at you. Huh? I'm not laughing at you, Steve.
No, I know.
We're laughing with you.
We're laughing.
Listen,
with
I'm rolling with it.
He made the decision.
Lean into it.
Abe's over here with his Boston Celtics parquet shirt on.
Hey, you saw that deal Jaylen Brown got, did you?
Yeah, how much money?
Like $300 million or something. Seriously.
For the Celtics.
Yeah, he got the max extension for the Celtics.
Max extension.
But Abe's sporting a green and white. It would be perfect on St. Patty's Day, St. Patrick's Day.
It's a good-looking shirt.
It is a good-looking shirt. I like that shirt, absolutely.
Thank you.
Yes.
I was just going to mention quickly.
Yes, please do.
Because we have a lot to catch up on.
We do.
Do you guys remember... you might be too young, Abe, but us three older guys. Do you remember when Wonder Bread came out with a round loaf of sliced bread?
I do.
Do you remember that?
That was short-lived.
It was short-lived, but we thought that was the greatest thing. Yeah.
You mean instead of the square
right,
bread?
It was a round loaf, and it was sliced, so you could just put a piece of bologna on there, and it was round.
How long did that last?
About as long as New Coke. Yeah. I don't know why. I thought it was a great idea.
But hamburger buns around, generally speaking.
Yeah.
Wendy's should lobby for square hamburger buns and make it so they can just square the beef and the bread.
So there was precedent.
Anyway, there was.
To borrow a legal word.
Yeah. And speaking of legal, we'll move away from Wonder Bread before we completely move on.
We had to squeeze in some comments the last half hour that I just want to finish because I said, and we talked about this, the next 15 months are going to be perhaps the craziest, wildest, most bizarre 15 months in American political history.
It's the Outer Limits, the old show.
Right.
Now return control of your television.
So prior to the break, we mentioned the Democrat side where you have – the Biden, some call it the crime family.
Yeah.
Allegedly.
Right.
But, and then you do have multiple scandals going on with the Bidens and Hunter Biden and millions of dollars that he made while his dad was VP. And his dad says, I never talked to my son about his business deals, all that stuff. It's going to be further investigated. You got Hunter Biden up in federal court right now. And that looks like that's about to get real bad for him and perhaps his dad and his family. Who knows? All right. You got that going on. You got Joe Biden's declining mental health.
Right.
Which is on display daily for everybody to see. We all see that he's aging.
Kamala Word Salad Harris.
Yeah. You got Kamala Word Salad Harris trying to be relevant, you know, and... So you got that whole scene over there. Then you go over to the Republican side. You got former President Trump facing potentially four investigations. Indictments.
Yeah.
Yeah. Four
criminal charges.
Two of them have already been
four trials with multiple charges.
But, yes.
Now two of them are You got the Alvin Bragg porn star hush money case up in New York, and then he's got the obstruction of justice charges on the classified documents at Mar-a-Lago, right?
Yep.
Okay, folks, before you email or say something, we're not saying whether this is has any merit. The trials haven't happened. Evidence hasn't been presented. People are presumed to be innocent in America. So let me just say that. So we're not accusing.
But he has been indicted.
Yes, we're just stating legal facts here and okay, news facts. Mm-hmm. Okay, there are two other cases that are pending potentially against the former president. One is his role in January 6th, right?
Yes. Where he's received a note. Well, he has said he's been notified by the same special counsel, Jack Smith, that indicted him for the obstruction of justice for documents in Mar-a-Lago. He's been notified by Special Counsel Jack Smith that he's the target. He is a target of the January 6th investigation.
And we don't know what all that's going to include.
Right.
Right? And that could come down any day now.
Yes.
And then you get then he's got potential problems in the state of Georgia, not federal, but state. If former president is indicted on that, what would it be for?
The purported election interference where he, according to the DA there, called the Secretary of State to ask him to find votes, et cetera, basically election interference.
Can I just ask? Did you have
the fake electorates? Is that what you're going to ask?
No.
Yeah. I want to ask him about that, but go ahead.
Okay. I was going to ask you, I'm not trying to put you on the spot, but because we don't know, we don't know what all the evidence is, supposed evidence against former President Trump. Just tick these off one at a time, even before we get to the electors question in Michigan. What do you think the chances are in terms of President Trump being vindicated or convicted in each of these?
Yeah, I think the Alvin Bragg indictment is trash. I don't even think that's going to make it to a trial. I think the president may have some problems with the Mar-a-Lago documents case, just on the black letter of the law. Now, whether or not I think it's a legitimate prosecution or all of that, I'm just talking specifically black letter of the law. This is what they said he did. This is the criminal statute. And if the evidence is what they have articulated that it is, that includes lots of the president's own words, then that is going to be something that's difficult for him. I don't know what all of the evidence is that they supposedly have in Georgia, but
that seems really weak to me.
It seems attenuated. Like, you have to do a lot of conjecture, a lot of things, but I don't think that's going to stop them from trying to pursue an indictment.
Right.
What about
J6?
Yeah, go ahead.
I have a very hard time. I don't know what the evidence, what the allegations are, what the charges are in that. Okay.
He hadn't been indicted on that yet.
But what Abe said was this target. Target notification letter from Jack Smith to President Trump and his attorneys is a precursor almost always to a indictment.
It usually precedes indictment.
Okay. Right. So, again, it's going to be some charges related to President Trump's role in what happened on January 6th.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's what it's going to be. So here's the point, back to my broader point. You talk about the next 15 months.
Yeah.
Because that trial in Florida for obstruction of justice is a federal court case. Mm-hmm. And that's been postponed to May.
Yeah.
That's when it would first go to trial. Well, let's just take that one alone. Steve, you feel free to participate in the show here.
I'm having a good time. This is way above my head.
That would be put off to May. Well, the primary season basically is January, February, March, April. I mean, that's probably going to be about 80% of the primaries. Maybe, you know what I'm saying? 20% go into May and June, I think. Yeah. So you're going to have the Republican primary going on with potentially a
criminal trial dates.
Criminal trial, multiple.
Yeah.
And so what you're going to theoretically potentially have is President Trump being convicted on some of these felony charges. If he escapes all of them, he's Harry Houdini. Okay. He owns Houdini. if he can escape all these, okay. So you would have a convicted felon who would either be going to prison or to house arrest in Mar-a-Lago, for example, running for president. So think about it. That's what I'm saying. That is just both the Democrat and the Republican sides. It just seemed.
Let's say he does get convicted. I'm talking to Abe now. Let's say he does get convicted on one of these charges, but there's no prison time. There's nothing in the Constitution that would prevent the president, a felon. Okay. Let's say he's convicted of a felony. There's no prison time. They make some kind of there's some kind of understanding. They reach some kind of deal. But there's nothing in the Constitution that would disallow President Trump from running, even though he's a felon.
That's right.
Is that right?
That is correct.
He okay. wouldn't be prohibited. You tell me what the chances are,
right,
of being convicted of a felony of this of these charges, and Trump having now gone to war with the special counselor calling him a deranged man.
Yeah.
Them doing some kind of a plea deal where he doesn't get any kind of penalty.
I'm just asking about whether, obviously, if you're in prison, well, can you run from prison? What I'm just saying in terms of the...
Can you run from the basement?
What about the basement of a prison?
I'm just trying to...
I mean...
You're the one who said that this is wildness.
Yeah.
Let's just continue
yeah.
to think
yeah,
wildly.
No, I understand, but I just don't think there's any way that if he's convicted, President Trump, of one of these felonies charges... that he's going to escape prison
yeah.
time.
Okay.
But I think probably what would happen in that case, I'm just guessing, they would probably say, Mr. Trump, you're guilty. You're under house arrest. You can't leave Mar-a-Lago,
right.
for example. I'm just saying, I don't think they're going to physically send a former president to with an orange suit.
Oh, they want to.
Oh, I know, but I just don't think that would be – I don't think that would be – I don't think that would happen. I think they would just tell him you're under house arrest. But he could still run, I guess, run for president. Is there a law that prevents a convicted felon from running for president?
No.
So here's the question I have.
Yeah, go ahead.
I raised this in our meeting this morning.
Right.
Is it – what happens is now the Democrats are putting Donald Trump's name in the news constantly every day. They are, I mean, all publicity is good publicity. Not that it wouldn't be because he's running for president, but now they are putting him in the news every day. They're trying to impugn him, but you know, you've seen his poll rise. Every time he gets an indictment, he goes up in the polls. People know or suspect
he goes up in the he goes up in the polls among Republican voters.
But people, the Republicans and maybe a large group of independents probably suspect strongly that all of these prosecutions are kind of political. In other words, the documents, they wouldn't, if it wasn't Trump, they wouldn't even bother with it. The porn star thing, or I don't know, you know, all of these things they're bringing against Trump because Trump, not because crime. That's what they suspect. And I think some people are more likely to vote just to poke the Democrats in the eye, I'm thinking.
Well, that may be true, Steve, but that has no effect on the guilt or innocence in a courtroom.
No, I agree. I'm not saying it's going to...
No, I think a large segment, a large percentage of President Trump's support base, because I've talked to a lot of people, about this, is based on their support of him because of the unfair treatment that he received when he was president.
Yeah,
which we all in this room agree to, and so they would say, a lot of people who support President Trump would say, "Hey, I'm going to stick with him because he's been treated unfairly."
Yeah,
and they also. That these same people would say that this is political persecution, these court cases, these indictments, and they're unfair, and they're only doing that because they are President Trump. So that's the sentiment that resonates with those who are hardcore Trump supporters, right?
I think there also is a a notion for Trump supporters to say, but well, he's done what others are saying they would do when he was president.
Can I just interrupt this just for half a second for some?
Yeah, do we need interruption music? Like, you got a breaking story?
Well, I just want to. This is what NBC News is reporting. Now, it is NBC News, so take that for consideration. But NBC News is reporting that Hunter Biden's legal team is demanding that the plea deal also cover future prosecutions of the first son, even if they're not directly related to the charges filed thus far.
All right, Abe.
Can't do that.
Both barrels.
You can't do that. Like, you're trying to have to get immunity prior to there even being any subsequent or additional investigations.
Good and try.
Yeah, well, yeah. Now, I understand that. I understand that lawyers dropping back
right
to the goal line.
It's called a Hail Mary.
Hauling one, right. But
a Hail Mary. Abe was doing a football pass for those who didn't see him in studio.
If I was prosecuting that case, I was like,
so you think that's what's going on? We talked during the break when you were in here, that what's happened in this Hunter Biden plea deal, because it says breaking news here on Fox, Hunter Biden plea deal falls apart over gun charge. That this is, you said this is highly unusual for these charges, first of all, to be pled down to a misdemeanor. And then there was the alleged incident where explain that about the law firm and the clerk for the judge of this case.
Before he does that, I got one thing. If I were Hunter Biden right now, as part of the Hail Mary, I would offer the federal judge a free painting.
A free bell.
I wouldn't do it just like I said it before the judge.
Yeah.
I would write it down on a piece of paper,
slide
it across the table, and see if she would be willing to accept that.
And then do this.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
Side.
So anyway, I'm just.
That was Abe lifting up a pen and passing it to the
desperate
judge.
Times calls for desperate measures. You got a free painting in my trunk out in the car.
Wink,
it's
wink.
Yours. Anyway, what was the question to Abe?
Oh, he knows.
I remember. Yeah. So what appears to be happening, well, not just appears, it's been reported. Before getting into the reporting, many TI listeners will know that you've had IRS whistleblowers who've come forward in person, sworn testimony numerous times at this point. Not just anybody. Gary Shapley is the head honcho at the IRS for money laundering, large volume tax evasion cases, as well as Joseph Ziegler. Those are the A-team for that kind of prosecution. They've come out saying that they had no idea a lot of the evidence was available, that the FBI had Hunter's laptop, all these other kind of things. They were prohibited from investigating him thoroughly. And they even recommended that based on the limited investigation that they had, that he be prosecuted for felonies, not misdemeanors.
Right.
Yet, for political purposes, it was downgraded to misdemeanors. And so they're providing all of this evidence. Congress has sought to intervene in the plea deal just because there's an agreement between the Department of Justice and Hunter Biden and his lawyers doesn't mean that the judge has to accept it. So Congress has intervened through Republican Congress members to say, judge, here is additional evidence that the investigators in this case was not given access to, that we are asking you to consider as a means to rejecting this plea agreement as it does not serve the interests of justice. Well, there's been some shenanigans overnight. Last night, the district court clerk received an email from someone representing to be lawyers for the Congress members, saying that, never mind, we don't want to submit that evidence, withdraw it from your docket so you don't consider it in the plea hearing. The Congress member's lawyer said, we didn't do that. Who did that? The district clerk said, we got a call from Hunter Biden's lawyer's office representing themselves as if they were the other lawyers asking us to remove this, and the judge was mad.
The judge has
threatened to sanction Hunter Biden's lawyers and has given them until today to appear for a show cause hearing to give a reason why they shouldn't be sanctioned.
What is sanction?
They can be disbarred.
Well, maybe the sanction has a full scope. So you could be fined. You could be jailed if it's deemed to be a contempt of court thing, which I don't think it would be that far. I think it would result in a combination of a bar complaint and a fine.
How does an attorney not get disbarred for lying and pretending? Now, we're saying this is alleged.
Yes, and this is alleged, and it's alleged that it's not the attorneys that are arguing the case in court. It's another associated attorney in the law firm where Hunter Biden's lawyers work. So you have that, and they're trying to say, oh, it was just a miscommunication. Guys, communication between clerks' offices and lawyers' offices is a sacrosanct communication mechanism. Like, whoever is your staffers that help you communicate with the court so frequently that the likelihood for miscommunication of something of this substantive, this meritorious, to say, hey, there's a document that's filed that's over 400 pages that I want you to take it off of the docket, remove it from that, that's not just a miscommunication. I think it was an effort to deceive what the judge is trying to tease out. And so since the judge has issued a recess, that the pleas normally go very quickly. But the fact that this plea has not gone through is giving an indication that this judge is not going to accept this plea bargain. And then Hunter Biden and the Department of Justice will be back at square one.
Well, and it seems to me that the judge could fall under suspicion if, after getting all this additional information, she still decides to allow
rubber stamps.
Yeah.
She knows she's a federal judge, and I don't care if she's a Democrat or Republican or whatever. She knows she's under intense scrutiny right now.
Yes.
People are watching to see how this goes because to the extent that, quote, the American people are watching, Americans don't, even though this happens every day, all day across the country,
right.
I mentioned the rich and famous and powerful get treatment that the rest of us don't get in terms of courtroom and penalties.
They get the best,
I mean, that's just, that's
best
just,
defense that money can buy.
That's just the way of the world.
Right.
And I'm just saying that she knows now that everybody's watching to see, are you going to give Hunter Biden a sweetheart deal?
Yeah.
Are you going to let him face the consequences or his lawyers that anybody else would under those circumstances?
And it's particularly outrageous, Steve, as you're quoting NBC.
Steve Wonderbread, Steve Jordahl.
Wonderbread Jordahl.
Yeah.
It's particularly outrageous, and Abe, if you want to address this in the last minute or so that we've got, for the Biden defense team to essentially want immunity going forward for any related charges.
Yeah,
this life or the life hereafter.
Yes, that's
wonder. You gotta wonder why they're asking for that.
Jeez, hey. I wonder why. I wonder. I wonder if it's whistle and blower has anything to do with any of that. Good.
Just you are a prosecutor in the New Orleans area and Houston, Texas area, assistant prosecutor in those two. Metropolises. How often does a gun charge and a tax charge get knocked down to misdemeanors?
It doesn't happen. I'm just telling you, a felony gun possession charge usually is not going to get knocked down to misdemeanor. You may have some type of arrangement with the probation and things of that nature, and especially of this particular magnitude to where you had felonies for years. Like, people say that he's only pled his plea agreement, Hunter Biden's, is to failure to pay taxes. No. The evidence shows he actively evaded.
Right.
Actively evaded. That's not merely a failure to pay. So the notion of a reduction to misdemeanor in this context is very, very, very rare.
And the gun charge had to do with him being a confessed drug addict.
Yes.
Who and that's against the law for them to have a firearm.
It's even against the Department of Justice's own policies that are on the website.
Right.
That they would give a pretrial diversion to somebody in that circumstance.
Yeah, because when you apply for a gun, you have to
listen.
You have to swear to that I'm taking illegal drugs.
Guys, there's no need in us talking about this anymore because it will be fully explained to us by Karine Jean-Pierre.
True.
In just a little
we'll
while.
Get the full scoop.
Okay, so we'll have
good
her.
Point. Good
okay,
point.
See you tomorrow, everybody.